going to ask you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And starting with verse 9. Pastor Jeremy, I didn't ask you beforehand. But you ready? I love this brother. All right. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse number 9. We're going to read down from 9 down to verse number 14. Does everybody have it? Does everybody have it? Colossians chapter 1. Okay, hold on, hold on. After Corinthians, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right? Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse number 9.
With joy, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Amen. The title of the message today is A Life-Changing Prayer. Okay. A life-changing prayer. A life-changing prayer. It is so important. As a matter of fact, the most important thing that we can do on planet Earth while we're here is to pray for our brother or sister. That's the most powerful thing that we can do. That's more powerful than giving them $1 million.
Amen.
Some of you say, well now, Reverend, but to know that you're being prayed for, and it's not the power is not in me praying per se, but hear this, the power is in Almighty God releasing from heaven to you what you need. So as long as you've got God operating in your life, that is the powerful thing. That's where the power is, to know that God is moving and stirring and doing something in my life. Doing something in your life. God is not finished with you. God has not forgotten you. But even now, God is all the while at work, both to will and to do of His good pleasure in your life, in and through your life, in and through my life. All right? So, seeing that that's the foundation here, we're going to push off. The book of Colossians is a very, very interesting book. Very interesting. There's a very interesting history to the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul, even though he's writing this letter to the church at Colossae, Paul had never visited that church. Paul did not start that church. Paul, while he was in Ephesus, and in Acts chapter 19 it talks about this, while Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, Paul ministered the gospel there. A fellow by the name of Epaphras, who lives in Colossae, he came to hear Paul minister in Ephesus. And when he heard Paul minister, Epaphras, he grabbed a hold of the gospel message and he took it back to his hometown in Colossae. And he founded the church there. As a matter of fact, he founded 3 churches. That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
So he founds the church. He's getting the church going. Fast forward, Paul is now in jail in Rome. So Epaphras, he comes from Colossae to Rome to check on Paul. And while he's there, he gives Paul the details of what's happening in the church. And one of the things that was happening in the church was that they had some problems. Hey, spoken like a true man of God. He said, what church don't have problems? But the problems that they had in particular was that they had a doctrine that had begun to creep into the church. And the doctrine that started to creep into the church was called Gnosticism. Now, this Gnosticism was basically a combination of Greek philosophy, Jewish legalism, and then modern day philosophies. And they just threw it all together. And a part of what they believed, now it's interesting, I kind of worked this down. What they believed is that they blended Christianity with some of this other stuff. And the whole design of this teaching was to degrade the preeminence of Jesus Christ. All right? Their doctrine called for legalistic practices and man-made philosophies and religious rites and passages. They taught that in order to have the fullness of God, you had to have knowledge. And this knowledge was superior in spirituality to anything that they were being taught. They were, in essence, saying that Jesus is not enough. And they had all of these man-made rules. It was about looking good. It was about how well you can argue. It was about sounding good. And what they were doing is downplaying who Jesus is. And I got to thinking. Things that make you go, yeah. What they were doing back then is a lot of what we're doing right now. I got this education. I got this highfalutin job in this position. So that can really take the place of the Lord. I've got my children that are going to the finest schools. I'm in the know and I got the hookup. So really, having the Lord is all right, but if I got this other stuff, that would give me completion in life. That would give me all that I need. It's more than just Jesus. Because after all, $1 million, if I were to give you some money, that money answers all things. So if you got the money, and if I can just get me a man, or if I can just get me that right woman, then that's really what I need. Or if I can just get that job, or if I can just get these other things. You know, having the Lord is all right, but these other things are the things that really, really matter. If I can just get that nice BMW. Yeah. Then that'll make everything all right. Or if I can just get this position in the church or this position on the job, then that would do it. Or if I can just get healed from this sickness. If I can just get these other things, then my life would be right. Then everything would be okay. If my children would just get their act together, then I would be all right. Then that would make me happy. I am happy. Okay. That would make all the difference in the world if I just had those other things. And so what they were dealing with back then are really some of the same things that we deal with right now. Coming to church every Sunday and, you know, clapping and getting involved in praise and worship, but still in the back of my mind saying, Lord, there's got to be more than just you. See, now we won't say it like that. See, the title of the message, I really was, and my wife told me, I really was going to preach, when are you going to get the hell out? Because really, see, Paul was dealing with the fullness of things, and when you're full of him, there's no time for hell to be in there. And see, those other things that we bring in, confusion and all kinds of other stuff, we're really bringing hell in. So the question is, when are you going to get the hell out? I'll never forget. Now, this was early in our marriage, early on. My wife and I had a discussion. You know what I mean? Okay. And so I had left to go get me a haircut. And all the while I am going from my house to get me a haircut, something is talking to me. Well, you should have said this, and you should have did this, and you let her get away with that, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And I'm going all the while, and as I'm going, I'm thinking about turning around. And so as I'm driving along, it hit me. I got to get the hell out. So I pulled over to the side of the road. I put my car in park. This is what I did. I got out of my car, making sure that there was nobody coming on the side of the road. And I walked around to the opposite side of the car, on the passenger side. I opened the door of that car. And I said, get out! He had to get out! Because he was filling my head with all kinds of stuff. And in my mind, I could argue this thing. See, I argue for a living. So I can argue this thing. And rather than getting caught up in what I know and what I think, I had to say, get out. Many of us need to do that same thing. So as Paul is writing this letter, Paul is really trying to tell him, you got to get the hell out. You got to get all of the stuff that is not in agreement with God. Hear me now. I ain't just trying to cuss on the sly or whatever. Anything that is not in agreement with God's word, you got to get it out. Whether it comes to your attitude, your pride, your unforgiveness, we got to get it out. So, as the Apostle Paul is dealing with the issues that this church has, he first wants them to know, and it goes in the book here, he lets them know just who Christ is. That's a very good place to begin. Someone turned to, glory to God. I got it here, y'all. By the way, he changed my message 3 times on me last night. Glory. Read Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20.
For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him.
Beautiful. Talking about who Christ is. We got to get a hold of this. Number one, read, if you will, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And then 13, too, for good measure.
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Talking about Christ. Now, see, the Gnostics were coming in saying you had to have the fullness. So Paul, then, in his argument to them, he's talking about who God is, who Christ is. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thank you. What does all mean?
All.
Go ahead.
And you are complete in him.
Glory to God.
Who is the head of all principality and power.
So he's saying you are complete in him. You don't need anything else. Regardless of what you might think, you don't need anything else. All right? Where am I?
Verse 13.
Go ahead.
And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Glory to God. So, in Paul's prayer, Paul is really dealing with maturity. This whole book right here, he's really dealing with maturity, spiritual maturity. And that's where we are right now. We really need to grow up in him. Regardless of how long we've been in the church, regardless of what position we have in the church, regardless of any of all that, Paul even said it's dung anyway. So he's really dealing with some spiritual maturity here. And in his prayer, if we can get a hold of this, if we can get a hold of this and receive this prayer for ourselves and then begin to pray this prayer over those whom we love. Just think, if we were to pray this prayer, and we're going to go through this, if what would it look like for a husband and a wife to pray this prayer? And to believe God, knowing that he answers prayer. What would it look like for parents to pray this prayer over their children? Won't have to be doing all that worrying. Come on now. What would it look like for us to pray this prayer over our neighbor, over our atheist boss? What would it look like for us to pray this prayer in regards to relationships that have gone awry? We're talking about spiritual maturity now, because in order to pray it, you first got to believe that he's going to hear an answer. And if you believe that he's going to answer it, then as I'm praying for my wife, as I'm praying for the person that I'm even upset with, come on. And believing that Almighty God is going to hear and answer. Let's go through this. Let's go through this. Glory to God. Will you take the time and read that prayer starting from verse 9? And I, if I interrupt you a little bit, we still friends.
Amen. All right. I forgive you.
All right.
For this reason, we also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will.
All right. Since the day we heard of your relationship with the Lord, we don't cease to pray for you. Now, see, that's where we first mess up right there. Because in many cases, we cease to pray. It just ain't happening quick enough. It just didn't, I've been praying here for the last 25 minutes and I don't see no change. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How many do we have on our mind now? Just think for a quick minute. That every time we think about them, we pray for them. And see, there's a difference, too. And not just saying, Lord, bless them, bless them, bless them. But praying specific prayers like what we're going to get into here. How would my life be different if somebody was praying this prayer for me? All right? So praying without cease. Go ahead. Start over there.
Do not cease to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will.
Okay. To ask, praying, and then praying that you be filled. with the knowledge of his will. Not just praying that you be given the knowledge, but that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. Meaning that there ain't nothing else in there. I'm praying that, you know what? I'm praying, my brother, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life. Because how many folk don't know what God's will is? But when you've got someone that's praying that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, God wants you to obey his word. God wants you to love one another. God wants you to do his will. God wants you to do what's right. So many times we want those highfalutin things way out there, but let's just start with the basics. Let me obey his word. Let me just obey his word. If I can just do that, if I cannot be getting angry when my wife tells me to do something. No, help me. Okay, praying for the knowledge of his will. Go ahead.
Deal with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isaiah 55 says, his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. What would it be like to really have the mind of Christ? As I'm dealing with the different things that come my way, to really have the mind of Christ where it's not just based on what I think, but Lord, what do you say about this situation? How do you feel about it? Rather than me getting my emotions all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up with it, Lord, what do you say? The basics, having an experience of knowing that, okay, God, I've walked with you enough. I want to be able to do it your way this time. I'm tired of messing it up. I'm tired of having to start over. I'm tired of having to say I'm sorry. Why can't I get it right the first time? And one of the reasons is I'm not going to him and saying, Lord, what do you say about this? Read.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, where any time in the Bible where it talks about walking, it talks about our lifestyle. Your lifestyle. That your lifestyle would be worthy. That word worthy means weighty. So as you are living your lifestyle, it is weighty. It has influence on other people's lives. So the way in which you live, other folk take notice, and it causes a person, get a hold of this now, to lean this way. It's weighty. How weighty is your lifestyle? How many folk have you caused to lean toward the way of the Lord? Not pushing them the other way now, but lean toward the way of the Lord. Read.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him.
Fully pleasing him. Now Luke 6:46 talks about those that came to the Lord. And the Lord says, now, those that just say Lord and don't do what I say, you're not really pleasing me. You can say one thing. Come on now. Jane Brown used to say it's like a dull knife just ain't cutting. You're just talking loud and saying nothing.
Being fruitful in every good
Fruitful in every good work. Fruitful. When was the last time that you prayed that someone would be fruitful? Productive. In every good works. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Who are you praying that? We're going to do this at the end. Go ahead.
Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Prayer. Now, these are specific prayers that Paul is praying for folk that he had never even met. that they would increase in the knowledge of God. Now, so many of us, we increase in the knowledge of our favorite Pro Bowl team. In our job, we know more about our jobs than we know about the Lord. We know more about scandal.
You're meddling now.
Girlfriend and I were channel surfing, and we saw Mary Jane. MJ. And we just looked at MJ for a little bit. And it's so amazing how we can get so caught up into MJ and what MJ's going to do and what she did. And we know more about what MJ did than what the Lord did and what the Lord is wanting to do. That just ought not be. It's time to get the hell out. I'm just saying.
Strengthened with all might.
Look at this. To be strengthened with all might. To pray for someone that you love, someone that you don't know, someone that's in the ministry, or to have someone praying that with you, for you, to be strengthened with all might. Not just the physical aspects, because the word says it's not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. The only way that we're really going to get some things accomplished in this earth that are meaningful is by his spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy.
Look at here now. See, this is the part where we really, really have a problem with. Lord, I want you to strengthen me for the high mountaintop things. But Lord, I really don't want to be strengthened for patience and long suffering, because that means I got to go through something. But this is a prayer that Paul is praying, that even now, to know that as I'm going through something, as you're going through something, someone is praying for patience with me, for me, and that I would be long suffering with it, that I don't just throw in the towel, that I don't just quit, that I don't just give up. Come on now. Read.
Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
Now see, here's where he's really, really praying here. That they would be able to give thanks. That they would be appreciative to God for all that he's done. And you know what? That's one of the problems, if you will, that we have. Is that we can be some unappreciative folk. We see it in our kids. We can see it in us. Story told about, I love stories. Story told about this guy who had graduated from high school, went to college, and gone to another city. And he had become a big, successful businessman in this other city. So he comes back to his own city that he grew up in, and as he's going to a meeting, he meets a friend from high school that he hadn't seen in like about 20 years. And so when he sees this friend is basically a vagabond. He's a street person now. And so when he sees this friend, he notices him and he starts talking to him, and he had a few minutes, so he went to take him to lunch. And they talked about old times, and they caught up on old things and situations and what have you. And then when he got ready to leave, he reached in his pocket and he gave the guy $300. The guy says, "Thank you." He said, "God bless you." Went on to his meeting. He left the city. And it happened that about 3 years later, he had some more business in that city. And as he's going to his meeting, he happens to run across his friend again. When he runs across his friend, they decide to catch up on old times, takes him to lunch. And then this time when he got ready to leave, he reached in his pocket and he gave his friend a $50 bill. And his friend looks at the 50, looks at him, looks at the 50, looks at him. And the businessman said, "Well, I I understand where you're probably coming from. The last time I was here, I gave you $300. This time, I'm only giving you $50. He says, well, since the last time that I was here, I've gotten married, I've had children, and I've bought a house, and so, you know, that's the reason for the $50. And the vagabond looks at the $50 again, looks at him, and says, I see what you're doing. You taking my money and putting it on your house and your kids. Unappreciative. God's people can be some unappreciative folk. You like that one? I got another one for you. Gentleman runs into a friend. As he run, you thought I was joking. I'm talking about appreciation. Runs into a friend, and the friend says, he says to his friend, why are you so sad? And his friend says, well, about 2 months ago, my uncle died, long lost uncle, and he left me $1 million. Then he said, about 3 weeks ago, an old aunt died that I really hardly knew, and she left me an insurance policy of $250,000. Friend looks at him and says, oh. And he said, last week, somebody else died and left me $50,000. And his friend said, well, if you didn't really know these people hardly and they left you this money, you're better off. You're blessed. What's wrong? He said, the problem is, ain't nobody died this week. But see, here's the problem. Unappreciative. But when we can thank God, when we can thank God, and it's not just thanking God for anything, look what he says thank God for.
Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
Come on here. Thanking God for it. Lord, look what you did. I was not worthy. But Lord, you put me in a position and you qualified me. You qualified me. Go ahead.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Here's what I'm thanking him for. Here's what I'm praying that you would thank God for. Or you pray that someone else would be thanking God for. Go ahead.
He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love.
Go ahead.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Paul is praying a life-changing prayer over these people at that church. Now, what would happen if we prayed that prayer for members of our church? Someone else prayed that prayer for me, for you. That's a life-changing prayer. If we really want to see God move to take us to a higher height, in a deeper depth, it starts with us getting serious, knowing who God is, and then believing God enough to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my brother. I'm going to believe that you're going to do something supernatural in and through their lives. And then, Lord, I'm going to believe that somebody is going to pray that same prayer for me. Bring me to a point where I'm spiritually mature in the Lord, that I'm growing up in the Lord. Because that's what it is, not carried about by every wind of doctrine, but really getting to the point where I'm settled in him. And he goes on and talks about being rooted in the Lord. And that's really what God wants of us. Paul writes this letter to the church of Colossae, but then he uses points from this letter to write a letter to the church of Ephesus. And he deals with some of the very same points here, but he uses this as a model to minister to other people at other churches. Let's get to the point where we want to grow up. Let's grow up in him. Let's not think so much about ourselves, but focus on him. And then believe that, God, I'm praying, and I'm doing the most powerful thing that I can do here on earth, that you would release your power in the lives of my brothers and my sisters. Right where we are. Just close your eyes for 1 minute. And get it fixed in your mind. a brother, a sister here within this ministry, even outside this ministry. And as you get them fixed in your mind, put their name in this prayer. For this reason, since the day I heard of your faith in God, I do not cease to pray for you, my brother, my sister, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you, my brother, may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's a life-changing prayer. That's a life-changing prayer. And God wants to change some lives. Not just go year after year and time after time, season after season, and dealing the same way with the same situations. But God wants to see some change. Some change in me. Some change in you. Change is not change until it's change. We can talk about change. We can pray for change. We can cry for change. But until I change, there will be no change. Father, do a new thing in us. Grow us up, oh God. Allow us to get and help us to get all of the hell, the impurities and the things that's not like you out of our life. That you would be glorified. And Lord, we'll be fruitful. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.